coming up, February 14th is what? Valentine's Day. It's kind of funny, one of the Fusion was the first one to speak up on that one, right? So one of the guys was saying, oh, it's Valentine's Day, it's coming up. Well done, well done. I like it, setting a good example. How many of you, it doesn't really matter, that's just an old cliche thing, I guess, asking the question, but one of the things I noticed, sometimes I get on Facebook, and so I'll look through and see what's posted, and it wasn't hard to notice that this particular week, boy, there was a lot of stuff about politics. Wasn't there? Did y'all see that this week? Oh, my goodness, there was a lot of stuff, you know, just there was banter back and forth, you know, there was ripping up, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and I just let that lie where it is, and there was other stuff, and it's just like, man, it's just almost overwhelming, right? And, you know, when that's what you hear a lot, and that's what you see a lot, it really, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, at least this has kind of been my experience, is that kind of stuff, you know, when you hear that a lot, or if you're in a relationship with somebody who is that way, or if you go to work and you got people who are that way a lot, or you've got some neighbors maybe who talk to you that way or whatever, I would hope not, but maybe, whatever the case may be, sometimes, for me, I find that gets a little discouraging. It just kind of, you feel like kind of like just runs you down. It's like, man, I know I'm supposed to love people, but good grief, y'all making it hard. Right? It's like, I want to do the good thing, but you're really making it difficult today to really pour out, you know, this love I know I'm supposed to, and the Bible teaches me I'm supposed to love others. And I was thinking about, as we're going to talk about loving others today as part of our new purpose, really kind of statement and purpose for which, you know, as elders, we took what we had and we really just sort of simplified that down and just said, we believe that New Hope exists to make disciples who love, grow, and serve. Period. So what I'm doing is I'm unpacking that to say, what do we mean by saying that? And so that's where we're at here over this, you know, have been last week and over the next few weeks. And so today we're going to talk about loving others. And I thought the reality is that you know that, right? Am I right? Like, you could say, what's the great commandment? And probably almost all of you would say, oh, I'm supposed to, like, love my neighbor. Like, love, you know, love my neighbor as you love yourself and all that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, love God, love others. And we get that. And then, yet the challenge, I think, really is when you're in the midst of being just in the day-to-day, and people make it hard to love. And there's this challenge that sometimes can, discouragement that can set in and it says, you know what, I know I'm supposed to, but I'm telling you, there's so much that is so much evil. There's so much ugliness. There's so much hatefulness. There's so much bad. There's so much war. There's so much just bleh. That's what my voice feels like this morning, has this last week, bleh. I just don't feel like love is really going to have any lasting change in the world. Like really? And then some may look at that and go, like, I know it's the right thing to do, and we need to do something, but man, the work is so overwhelming. There's just so much to do. How can we actually even, you know, make a huge difference? And why should we have to love people who are ugly and hateful? I don't need that in my life. You know, someone says, ain't nobody got time for that. I do not have time for that in my life, right? No. I got better stuff to do in my life. I don't need that stress. I don't need that drama in my life. And I'm with you. I hear you. But I'm not sure that's exactly the way the church is called to live. And so, you know, the great commandment, we could throw that up this morning here on the screen. Jesus is really kind to tell us that we ought to love our neighbors as ourselves, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. In Matthew 22, verse 39. Thank you, Jesus, for that one, because that's hard. And what Jesus really does is he pulls out from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18, and it's where God spoke through Moses to tell the people of Israel, same thing. Love your neighbor, right? Love your neighbor. Absolutely. And so, in one sense, I think we could say, well, why do we do this? Well, because God said so. And there's some part of our faith that I think honestly has to say, well, that's enough for me. If God said it, that's enough. I'm okay with that. I I will give my life to that because God said so, because I worship God who is the one true, only living God, and so, done. But perhaps there's something for us deeper than that, that can teach and encourage us when we think about loving the unlovely. Because anybody can love lovely people, you know? I mean, that's easy to love really nice, lovely people, right? Even the world can love unlovely people. What separates the church from the world in one part is that the church is called to love the unlovely. Those that are hard to love, the EGR, extra grace required. You ever met some of those folks? Right? Hopefully you're not one of them. But yeah, as we always joke as pastors and say, you know, I got this person in my congregation, sometimes they're like a little EGR, extra grace required. And I'm like, yeah, well, we all probably do, because the reality is we all know folks, and maybe sometimes we are that person who's a little extra grace required. And so yet, it's like, but you know what, dude, the thing's the same. You still got to love your neighbor. Grace don't come from you anyway, so that's fine. It comes from God. He has an abundant supply, so he can give you the extra grace you require to love your neighbor as yourself. And you go, well, okay, here we go. But so with that being said, I would say I want to answer this question in a way that why love others? To help us get at the heart of understanding, and I'm going to come back to this later, that love is not about you. Love is not about me. That love is really about God. And you say, well, why would you love other people? And I'm going to say, well, because love reflects the image of God. Love reflects the good character of a good God. I'll say it again. Love reflects the good character of a good God. So we call that sort of love being, why do we love? Because love reflects here's a fancy little word, right? So here's your $2 word, imago Dei, right? A little Latin. It's the image of God. So that all creation is made in the image of God. You go back to Genesis, right? So let us make man in our own image. And yet when you go back to creation and you think about, if you know the story, I think I probably asked you this before, but when God says, let there be, or God creates, God does something on almost each of the days, what does he say at the end? And it is what? Good. It is good. It is good. Now, I like that. And part of that is meant to teach us that the God who's created it all has created out of his own character, his own being, his own essence, that he is a good God. And so therefore, he cannot create that which is not good. So when we reflect the image of God, this goodness of God in the world, what are we reflecting? We're reflecting the very character of God into the world. So when you love people, it's not about you bearing your own good, like, oh, they're going to like me when I do this. No, it's about you bearing the image of God's goodness in the world with people around you. Love's not about you. So love's not about how hard it is, and it's not about how easy it is. Love's about God. It's about bearing the image of a good God through us in the world. That holy image shines through us. People get to see God's good, moral, pure character through you. Who are the folks that probably would be blessed by experiencing that? Here's the part that's crazy. I think it's probably like everybody, right, to be honest. But is there room to say that maybe it's the people that are hurting the worst and the broken and the most broken and the most dysfunctional, when we sort of think of dysfunction, you know, that hurting people that are hurting people? You track what I'm saying? Hurt people tend to hurt people. And perhaps it's the hurt people that need to experience the healing presence of God in us. Amen. That's like a meme. I think we can almost do like, right? Hurting people in the healing presence. Who knows? Love teaches our neighbors who God is and who he is not. It teaches that his love is pure, like him. It teaches that his love is near to the brokenhearted. It teaches that his love is merciful and just. Now, we may not see that today, but in the end, justice will come. It teaches that His love is benevolent. It's charitable. It's giving. That there's this sense of joy to it. That there is this peace about it. Right? That you can bring peace into a heated discussion. You ever have those folks that are like, they just want to bring World War III right into your moment in a conversation? You're like, I ain't doing this right now. And when that moment kind of happens, the tendency is to what? The hairs of the back of your neck sort of stand up, and you're ready to stand, and you're ready to stand right there and go, if you want to bring it, we'll go head to toe. But I don't really want to do it right now. In a sense of, you know, almost like a sense of, but perhaps there's room to consider that when we love others, that we will choose, it's not about us and it's not easy, but it's the choice, that we may try to bring peace into a heated moment. Love, joy, peace. That His love is patient. It's long-suffering. That His love is kind. Can I borrow your water first? Can I borrow your water first?
Sure.
Awesome. You drank some of this too since we started, didn't you? Yeah. I think, because it's, yeah, all right, because it's not. So when my brother is thirsty and I got water to give, then I could give my, I'm not going to douse you. I'm not gonna, I know you already been baptized. We don't need to do it again. that I could give him a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. Kindness. Thanks, bro.
No problem.
You're a good man. Goodness. Gentleness. Meekness. I don't have to talk to you like you're a jerk because you offended me and you didn't meet my expectations and you said something that rubbed me the wrong way. I don't have to treat you like I'm up here and you're down here. I don't have to do that. Sometimes there's times where I want to do that. You know? Yeah. How dumb can you be? Okay, that's the thought that came in my head, but it needs to stop there. And I don't need to act on that, right? There we go. Then I need to choose meekness. Well, that's only by the grace of God. But that's what love chooses. So you got love and joy and peace, and then patience and kindness and goodness. And we got three more. It's faithfulness. And there's a gentleness. And there's self-control. Don't we love that one? Self-control. Absolutely. Just like you don't like it when other people lose their cool with you, people don't like it when you lose your cool with them either. But there's times when we feel like we're justified because we're angry and it comes out. Yep, probably, maybe. Maybe I'm the only one, but in case you might ever struggle with that, I just throw that out there for consideration is all this morning, okay? So those nine, we call them fruit of the Spirit, okay? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 is where those are found. Just in case you think I was making them up as something cool to say, I'm not. It's coming out of the Word, right? Okay, these we call the fruit of the Spirit. They are, Paul writes them to teach us about the character of God. This whole thing about how we love people, that we would love them through reflecting the character of God in their lives so that we would love our neighbor the way that Christ has loved us. And in John's gospel, John 13, isn't it 13, 34 and 35, I want to say, he says, you know, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, comma, if you love one another. What does that love look like? That's what we're going through today, some of that. And that love is good in all of its ways. That's the kind of love that teaches the holy character of God, a God whose greatest attribute is love, in a world that sometimes doesn't make love its motivating drive for what to do and when to do it and how to do it, right? Here's one you probably know. How many kids, you know, the whole, you grew up in with the songs saying, you know, Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right? Yeah, there we go. All right. You people that grew up in church, you know, probably remember being taught that song. You're like, I'm going to let it shine, right? This is where Jesus is going with this, right? Absolutely. When we love others, we are shining the goodness of God for others to see, for others to experience, and therefore we let that light shine in a dark world. Matthew 5:16. Can we read this together? Can we just read this out loud together? If you can we? Let's do it. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Man, that's not always easy to do, is it? Holy moly, it's not. So I think we have to think differently from the world when it comes to love. The kind of love that we're called to love with. Now, when you think of Valentine's Day, I'm not going to ask any of you who are getting your spouse or your significant other or anything, you know, I'm not going to ask you to divulge all that. But who is? I'm just kidding. Don't do it. No, don't do it. No. I don't want to throw you under the bus. That particular holiday does tend to teach that love is very much about an emotion, right? Which is true. I mean, it is. It is in part that. And that's cool. It's really good, right? And so that love is an emotion. That love is something, because something we feel, we do something very, you know, out of the norm for somebody that is our significant other. One of the things that holiday does not do, that my wife sit up here in the middle in case I'm not just for some random person. that would be awkward, just saying, okay? Not going to do that. It's weird. What that particular holiday, I'm not bashing a holiday, right? But just to make a point, that's all I'm doing. One of the things that particular holiday does not help us to see about love, and from a Christian view and a biblical view of love, is that love is more than, well, for one thing, that it's more than just an emotion, right? Okay. When love is often, I think when it's mostly an emotion, you notice your emotions change, don't they? So when your emotion is, I'm upset, I'm very frustrated, I'm angry, then that tendency to want to be very charitable is probably not as driving. Maybe you're above the norm, but for me, that's something I can struggle with. Is that I don't feel like being as charitable and as giving. It's like, well, you hurt me, see what you get. It's like, man, pastor is cruel. He is cold. No, well, sometimes, but better or worse, that's what we agreed to. Anyway, sorry, just kidding. You know, we think about loving people. We can't control other people. How many of you can control your spouse? Don't raise your hand if you don't do it. Don't do it. You did it anyway. I should have learned, never ask a question you don't know or know the answer to. Anyway, so, you know, when we can't control people, and so when we love others, our goal is not to love simply as an emotion, which is oftentimes influenced by how we feel, but it is to create moments where people can experience God's goodness through us. And I think with that idea, then perhaps we could say that love is really maybe not about us being seen as good, but God being seen as good through us. That loving others is about God's goodness and His holiness being experienced through us. It's not just the good thing to do because it feels good to do it, or because I feel like doing it, largely connected with emotion, if that's the only place that it sits in our lives. In fact, it is the moral, the right thing to do. It is the holy thing to do because, here it is, our good God is holy. And He is righteous. He is right in all His ways. And His greatest attribute is love. That love not be about how I feel about you, but how I could perhaps help you experience God through me. So it's emotional, but it's also spiritual. But it's also intellectually, because I'm being renewed in my mind through the work of the Holy Spirit to reteach me that love is not about how I feel. Love is a choice I make to bless you, that you may experience God's good, moral, holy, and right love through me. And that He will be glorified in heaven. Remember that verse we saw, right? That people like, glorify your Father in heaven. It's not because of you. It's because of what they experience through you. I bought this devotional, and it's called Rediscover Jesus, because I bought this thing, and I thought, I need to rediscover Jesus. I'm just kidding, not really. It was good, and I thought, I want to use this. But I found the first day in the devotional, there's a story, and I want to share that story with you this morning, if I may, and it's relevant. It's not random. There was a gentleman who was with a group of co-workers, and so they were on this trip, and it was time to go home, and so they needed to catch their flight. And so leaving, let's say, the hotel to catch a cab to get to the airport, they're in a hurry. You guys ever hurry to the airport? Well, that tends to be our MO, our family. But anyways, because of me, usually. But anyways, and so they're headed to the taxi, and the gentleman, who is the subject of the story, he runs into this lady's fruit cart, and he knows that he does it. And the other friends keep going, and they grab this cab. They hail this cab. They're like, hey, come on. And he stops this moment because he's torn, because he knows what has just happened. And now he has this crisis of belief moment. You see it coming? Do I get in the cab because I'm going to miss my flight, maybe? Or do I stop, turn around, and go help this person to clean up the mess that just got made? And they're like, dude, come on. You're going to miss it. He's like, ugh. Y'all go, I'll catch up. And so he turns around, he gets down there, and he's picking up the fruit, and he puts it on the stand. And when he looks up at the lady that's behind the cart, he notices she's blind. And he's done, and he says, I'm so sorry, this happened, and everything. I put everything back in place, you know, it looks like you're good. And he gets ready to walk away to get a cab, try to go to the airport, and when he does that, she speaks up and says, hey, are you Jesus? And he was taken aback, and he turns back. Huh? Well, I prayed today, and I asked that Jesus would help me. Are you Jesus? Loving others is not about you, and it's not about me. It's about Jesus, you know? It's about helping people experience Jesus, His grace, His mercy in our lives. And it's having a life that is oriented around saying, I can't be so busy in my life that I don't have room to be detoured to help people. One of the dilemmas of today's society is we are so packed in our schedules. We can tend to be, right? So much going on. That when somebody or some moment happens, we get that interrupts our schedule, we can get frustrated because I don't have time for this right now. I have to be, right? Whatever the case may be, da-da-da. Loving others, I would challenge us, I think should encourage us to have margin in our schedule so that we have room for that. Do we think perhaps that if we said, God, I want to be available to share your love with other people today, and so I'm going to ask that you would use me today to share that love, and if we build room in our schedules to have opportunities for that, would it make sense that maybe God would create some moments for that to happen, that there might be some moments that take place in our day where we could be that in somebody's life? Man, I tend to think so. Because I think when I look at the gospel tells stories that show love is compassionate. It matches mercy. It's empathetic. And it's also sympathetic, right? You know the difference between the two, right? Between empathy and sympathy. Empathy is to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and to sort of feel how they feel. Sympathy is to actually act upon that, right? To take action on it. Love is sacrificial. Love serves without needing to be served in return. For Christ did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. Absolutely. Love doesn't control the outcome, but it offers hope and peace and joy. And ultimately, I believe that is the message of the cross. I think it really is in the gospel. When we love others, we are paving the way for the message of the cross to be, I think, revealed in tangible ways that make sense in the lives of the people that we interact with. You know, you're putting on the clothing of love. 1 Corinthians 13, you know, kind of thing. The love chapter of the Bible, Paul writes about, right? Yeah, absolutely. It's all about how you're putting on charitable, benevolent love in ways that impacts other people. And if you're not willing to do that, he's like, well, then you're just like this loud, like, gong that's just, like, so annoying. Like, you're just doing stuff, but you're not really, like, making an impact. You're not really sharing the love of God in people's lives. You're kind of missing the point on the deal, right? All right. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe a good question that we get to ask today is this. When someone doesn't meet our expectations, what clothing do we put on? Are we putting on the clothing of love? Are we clothing, so to speak, are we clothing ourselves in Christ? What light do we shine? Do we put on anger, bitterness, hatred, jealousy instead of the fruit of the Spirit I talked about earlier? I know this lady. She worked at restaurants, and she worked on Sundays a lot, right? What do church folks like to do a lot on Sundays? Go out for lunch, you know? And so she would say that when she was waiting tables on Sundays, that she did not like working on Sundays. And I thought, well, that's very interesting to me. Why would you not like to work on Sundays? And she said, because in my experience, folks coming to eat lunch after church are typically the rudest and the cheapest people that I ever wait on all week. Dead serious. She's like, I don't like working on Sundays. It's not fun. And that when I heard her say that, it just hurt my heart. Because that part of me is like, that's not who the church is supposed to be. The church is not a pick it up on Sunday and go, God's good, and you walk out and you tell somebody on the bus because, you know, your chicken ain't hot enough or whatever. You know, it's like that's not it. Like, that's not the way it works. It just, you know, again, so it just kind of makes my heart hurt a little bit. We don't just keep Jesus to ourselves. We share his love with the world. You guys made this pastor proud, I tell you, at Manna Market. When we had some fusion and an adult serving a couple months ago there. And you made me proud because, you know, you were loving other people. You were helping, because watch this. I don't think you even realized what you were doing. I mean, you did, but I don't know that you did. Because when you were serving at Manna Market, in the name of Jesus, what you're doing is you were helping people who are struggling in life and who are at a place of suffering, and you're helping them to see that Jesus chooses to come alongside the brokenhearted and to love them right where they are. Jesus has not asked them to rise up to some place above where they are in order for them to be acceptable, in order for them to be loved, in order for them to be blessed, that they can be blessed right where they are. Because isn't that exactly what the cross teaches us? Right? In the book of Romans, 5:8, but God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. You see, you're teaching the cross when you're loving other people, if you do it the right way, right? When it's not about you, but it's about God. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, they're taking care of each other. There's poor folks in the community, and they're selling their possessions, and they're, you know, they're helping people. And I love what the, I love what Acts 2, that story says. At the very end, it's beautiful. It says, and they enjoyed the favor of all the people. Well, yeah, why? Because they're blessing people in the name of Jesus. They're loving their neighbor. Bring glory to the Father in heaven. I think it's beautiful. It makes sense that Luke would add that at the end of the story in Acts 2, is talking about the church. And then he tells us, all right, church, here's the deal. I want you to go love other people the way that I've loved you. Okay? But it's not easy. Because I want you to forgive others who sin against you. And even taught to pray that way, even the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Holy moly. I want you to forgive those that hurt you. I want you to pray for and I want you to bless those that persecute you. People throw you under the bus. It's like, you could give them a what for, but the Lord says, I'd rather you pray for them and bless them. But it's a lot more fun if I just, I know. But I'd rather you pray for them and bless them. Well, so, you know, I feel a lot better if I talk about them behind their back to other people. I know. But I just want you to pray for them and I want you to bless them. It's a lot easier if I don't ever have to talk to them again. I understand. But I still want you to pray for them and I want you to bless them. Why? Because I want you to remember, listen to this. You sinned against your Father in heaven. You were at one point at enmity with God. And God didn't write you off. He loved you and saved you by your faith. He didn't desert you. He didn't walk away from you. He didn't give up on you. He said, I'm going to love you anyways. Because I see better for you than what you see for yourself in this moment. I have created you for more than what you understand right now. I have created you for a blessing you can't comprehend in this moment right now. And I'm going to choose to love you. And I'm going to ask you that you wouldn't harbor ill feelings against the people that have frustrated you. I'm going to ask you, would you try and communicate and reconcile conflict as much as it depends on you? I'm going to ask you, would you not just love the easy to love, but would you do the hard work of love and love the people that are EGR, extra grace required? Because remember, you know, the world can love the easy to love. I'm not asking you to love like the world does. I'm asking you to love with the divine love in you. I'm asking you to love the hurt people that hurt people. We're commissioned and called to love beyond the easy. Do for others the good you desire from them, Matthew 7:12. I want to close with this. I think Paul puts it maybe as well as anybody in the Scripture. I'm going to have this on the screen. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Check this out. Listen to what he writes. He says, as God's chosen people, that's the church, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and you love it, right? Patience. Keep going. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We believe that the Scripture is pretty clear that God has called His church to love other people. Love Him and to love other people. This is what it means to love. And so therefore, it seems right and good that we would say, at New Hope, we exist to make disciples who love God and others. We exist to make disciples who love. This is what we mean by saying love. It's more than just a rose. It's more than just a flower. It's more than just a card. Those things are good. It's more than just a smile. It's more than just a handshake or a hug or, hey, how you doing? It is those things. But it's also the hard work, too, that invites us to keep the cross in mind as we do that hard work of love and keep in perspective what God has done for us because he's loved us. And say, by the Spirit of God in me, I choose to love even though it's not easy. So God, give me the strength and the patience and all that I need because, oh my word, this is going to be hard. By the grace of God, let's love people well. And you guys have been, I think, doing this well, right? I think you have. And so this is the road we want to keep going down. And we want to disciple and shape the lives of other folks that we believe are going to come to faith. Kids that we're raising up in the faith, this is what we want to shape them in, right? To love God and love others like we're talking about. All right. Amen. I'm done. And you're welcome. So you're saying thank you, right? So, well, thank you. It's about time. Charlie, come on. I don't know. I'm giving my best here. Thank you for being patient with my voice. And I'm so excited I didn't cough. I thought for sure I was going to be hacking up here while I was speaking. And I give God the glory for that. I'll probably do it after I step down. But can I ask our worship team, would y'all come this morning and lead us as we round out our service today? And we believe we've spoken to God in worship and prayer, that God has spoken to us through his word, and it's our time to speak back in song again before we are sent out into the world to serve Christ and to work with him to make disciples of all the folks who will love, grow, and serve.